Good morning. It's a half a minute before 10 a.m. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up, of course, at 10 is Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Barbara Bernstein hosts Locus Focus, a weekly interview show about our place on the planet. Today, she speaks with Dominic Della Sala with the Geos Institute in Ashland about the importance of high-severity forest fires in promoting forest health. At 11, hear Health Watch with Dr. David Naiman. He speaks with John Liefer, an expert on the needs of cancer patients, about his book, After You Hear It's Cancer, A Guide to Navigating the Difficult Journey Ahead. And at 11:30, we're going to hear Madness Radio with Will Hall. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Aurora Colony Vineyards 2015 Jazz Festival, August 9th, with doors opening at 2 p.m. and performances from 3 to 9 p.m. The Aurora Colony Vineyards is located at 21338 Oak Lane Northeast in Aurora, Oregon. Performers include Tony Lincoln, the Ron Steen Band, Picante Latin Jazz, Tom Grant, and many more. Again, that's the Aurora Colony Vineyards Jazz Festival, August 9th, from 2 to 9 p.m. More information about directions and ticket prices can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up, 15 minutes of news, comment, and jiggery pokery with me, Chris Andre, for KBOO News. Today's guest is Sarah Thompson with the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. We're going to be talking about the die-off of salmon. There's a great many other issues right now. Planned Parenthood has issues with the Senate at the moment. And we have other environmentally related topics that we urgently need to address. If not now, when? And if not where, here. It's really happening. The kayaks and the Greenpeace climbers who rappelled off the St. John's Bridge did an amazing job of drawing national attention to the issue of the Fennica, the icebreaker, and what the icebreaker itself is carrying, technology designed to cap the inevitable oil spill. They're going up there with as much or perhaps more equipment that designed to address the problem when it happens. So they too understand it's not a question of if, it's when. And the icebreaker Fennica is now on its way, as are activists all up and down the northern west coast, where they will greet it with again, every possible form of obstacle. That said, we welcome Sarah Thompson with the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission to the KBOO airwaves. I'm thanking Sarah especially because this is a last-minute request to talk about a First Nations issue. It really comes down to that. This river does not really belong to us. It belongs to itself. It belongs to the land. It belongs to the planet. And it belongs to the first people who made it part of their culture and their tradition. It flows through their blood. And good morning, Sarah. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So we understand that more than 250,000 sockeye salmon that are returning from the ocean to spawn are either dead or dying in the Columbia River and its tributaries. The water is too warm. Fish biologists say that it's a cold water fish, wiping out this year at least half of the return. Can you speak a little bit about the warming temperatures and what the effect is and how that is crushing this year's run?
Happy to. First, I should probably clarify, we don't know for sure that these sockeye that are returning are dead or are dying. The reality is we have 200,000 fish that are basically kind of missing right now. We don't know if they're deceased. We don't know if they're holding up in colder waters somewhere, waiting for temperatures to drop. And we're not going to know that information for another month or so. But nonetheless, this warm water temperature is certainly a concern for the tribes, for the managers, for the Columbia River system, and for the fish populations that reside here. It really speaks to the need for habitat restoration and protection within the tributaries throughout the Columbia River system as a way to kind of not prevent, but a way to address the situation in the future if we're forced to.
It seems to me, what steps would one take at this point? It seems that the warming, there's so many variables, so many factors involved, and that have all contributed to this disaster. And cooling water that has been warmed by so many ways. And I please, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that it's just too much pressure, too much human activity has put pressure on all of these factors that we need to take into account. And that's causing a situation that I don't know how one could reverse this.
We live in a very altered system. The Columbia River system has been altered time and time again, and that's kind of the reality that everyone in the Columbia Basin is forced to address. It impacts not only the communities, but also the fish populations and the communities that rely on the survival of these populations.
So the tribal issues, First Nations really, this is their water, and the treaties are, I don't know, a lot of people, especially the Nez Perce, would have issues with treaties. Is there anything in the treaties that could be invoked to prevent the overuse of all of these resources that cause a situation like this to take place? Is there any recourse to treaties here?
Well, that ultimately is up to the tribes. That's not something that my organization deals with, because a treaty right is that of the four tribes, and so that would ultimately be their decision.
So going forward, before we let you go, what would you like to get across? What main point would you like to get across to listeners today about the warming river? And I know people are generally very activist-minded here and want to know what they can do to have a positive impact on the situation.
I think the take-home message is that it's going to take all of us. Whether it's dealing with water temperatures or climate change or habitat restoration, it's going to take all of us to address the situation and to fight for these fish.
I have one further question, if you don't mind, just one more question for you. And that is looking forward to next year, is there any way at all to predict whether this situation, because it's not just, we've had a really hot summer, so the water got warmed up. It seems that this is a larger thing that we're dealing with here. And going forward next year, is it likely that the waters will remain this warm? Is it between now and the next run, What changes do you see possibly taking place?
You know, it's really hard to say at this time.
So we wouldn't know whether this is how long it actually takes to get the waters cooled down again.
I mean, the fall fishery, the fall run, I think we'll see more of the warming water temperatures. The fall run is kind of more adept to the fall fishery because warming water temperatures because they are a later fishery. But when it comes to next year, we just don't know.
Okay, then. Thank you so much for that, Sarah. I really appreciate you joining us today on the show. My guest has been Sarah Thompson. She's a media director with the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. And thank you again very much, Sarah, for being with us. This is such an important issue. And again, I think that what we need to thoroughly understand is that we've created these conditions that are deadly to sockeye salmon already, a species that has been pretty much hunted, fished, and clobbered to death by human impact. And it is important to point out that, too, that these fish really do belong to First Nations. These fish belong to the tribes that live along and throughout this river, this whole river basin. And ultimately, what we have done, what the white colonizers, the forces of colonization, once again here in this part of the world, what we've done is basically a crime. It really is. And if we even begin to talk about restitution, the numbers begin to burgeon into the millions, if not trillions, because of the damage that's done and what it would actually take to restore a region which does not belong to us, to the colonizers. It belongs to other people who have rights to fish and live, dig roots, they use all of the plants that grow and the animals that live on the land throughout the system. They have rights. We don't have those rights. And that is something we need to bear in mind all the time. It should be keeping us awake at night. So meanwhile, the Fennica is steaming towards the Arctic, and President Obama is talking about reducing fuel consumption, or at least trying to clean up the Fuel Industries Act, and has remained silent so far as we know on the issue of drilling in the Arctic. There are laws that are being created right now that would address that, would completely prevent drilling in the Arctic. The United States, of course, is afraid that if they don't drill, someone else will. And they are, of course, the fuel companies are joyfully dancing on the boardroom table at the thought of the ice melting so they can get their claws on the fuel that lies beneath. And meanwhile, we have Republicans piling on to the boat to try to get themselves nominated as the contender will inevitably go up against Hillary Clinton, who will inevitably lose because people say, I'm not voting for Hillary. You don't understand. This is not an election. This is not like a fair and balanced contest. It's got nothing to do with being a citizen who has a right to vote and a responsibility to vote and a duty to vote. It's got nothing to do with that. Right now, all it is to prevent the likes of Alec, the likes of the Koch brothers, and the likes, of course, of David Trump, and all the rest of them, AIPAC, to prevent them from getting into the White House, because if they get in there now, we'll never see the end of it. You see, think about it. It's not called the capital for nothing, is it? It's capitalism writ large. That's about all we can say about it. Right now, though, we face, I think, the the environmental issues before us are far more important than a bogus sham election. Just go ahead and vote for whoever is not a Republican. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference whatsoever. But what does make a difference right now and into the foreseeable future is the fact that we are destroying our planet. We are rapidly creating the conditions of extinction. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, August 3rd, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Tune in to the podcast Probable Cause This on the KBOO website. KBOO.FM/probable cause. On this podcast, I look at the top stories on the lack of accountability for police and public officials in Oregon and across the country. That's KBOO.FM/probable cause for a weekly roundup of stories on holding our public officials accountable to we the people.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin and Company.